Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investment Show. We are playing you a new tune picked out by Chris. He found the song and said, hey, that's a pretty catchy tune. Well, if you're around in the early 70s, it was probably the number one song in the country for like 3 months. And it was just a catchy tune, a happy tune. Before computers, we had happy music. Yay. Hope everybody's doing well. My phone is blowing up about 5 minutes before we went on the air. I am being told that UConn basketball is considering returning back to the Big East and leaving the AAC, but they haven't worked out the football program thing yet. But apparently UConn and Coach Hurley are extremely upset with the new AAC TV agreement. This is the rumor, just telling you. Games would be put on streaming on ESPN Plus behind a paywall, which means you got to pay to see this. Harder to sell recruits if they won't be on TV. Coach Hurley knows this. So the rumor is that UConn basketball, men's basketball, may be going back. And that would probably be a lot of other sports too, I'm assuming. We'd go back to the Big East, and it'd be more fun to play Syracuse than Tulsa. I'm sorry, Tulsa. But I want Syracuse. I want to see Villanova. You know, even Creighton, I want. Come on. I want to see these teams. Boston College, we don't care about. They fled to the Atlantic Coast Division, whatever, ACC. Hope everybody's well. My name is Dennis O'Brien. Welcome to our little show here on 94.9 News Now, called the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Although half the people in town call me O'Brien, I laugh out loud even though my first name is Dennis. Half the people in town call me, O'Brien. How are you? Good. Anyway, years ago I've been correcting them, but it doesn't really matter. It makes me laugh for the ones that honk hello from dark windows while you're walking. I guess a neighbor game, I call it. Was that Jimmy? Or I don't know who that was. The dark windows don't help, guys, especially if you change cars every week, like some of you do. Going to my niece's graduation party in the city tonight. She graduated high school, and her mom and dad are throwing a little shindig in the big city. My son, who was hit by a car in New York City, returned to the city and is starting a new job in 2 weeks at higher pay. Yay! So we're happy for him, and we're all relieved that all is well again, we hope, and everything else. Business is booming. Just give you a little rundown of what's going on with me and my business. Business is booming with a record number of new accounts in the last 2 weeks. A sincere thank you to all of you for your faith, confidence, and trust. We work hard to keep that trust and do a good job for you. I talked to a gentleman recently whose dad was getting forgetful before he went into full Alzheimer's. His dad's finances were mostly a mystery to the family. It's a local guy, guys. It was discovered that the caregiver was not being honest. Mail to the house was diverted, and right now we are unsure of where the assets are, although there's several thousand dollars missing from the bank accounts. He asked me to go through his forms this week. I went through all the forms because he didn't have a clue what his dad owned, and I found a IRA annuity rollover with a big insurance company in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the problem is the statement's dated 2018. So was that after the mail was diverted? And after the mail was diverted, were they able to get into that? So we do not know, and I waited with a bated breath to hear from the son, find out what's going on. This poor man, the father, was victimized when he was the most vulnerable. And it makes me sick to my stomach. I'll tell you something. Some of these clowns out there, what they do is absolutely. Another case I heard was from a daughter whose father was widowed after a very long marriage. Lo and behold, his high school sweetheart shows up, and before you know, there's a property sold, and the sweetheart gambled away a couple of $100,000, reducing the daughter's inheritance quite a bit. That wasn't very nice. So it's, I like the stories when childhood sweethearts, you know, Hallmark loves that stuff. But sometimes those people at 17 aren't the same people at 77. Or maybe they are and you just didn't know them that well. But another told me about their mother in Florida was scammed by your grandchild was in an accident and please wire funds right away. She went down to Walmart to wire the funds and the Walmart employees urged her time and time again to double check. Because in Florida, they've probably seen this a few times. But no, she panicked and sent away the $3,000 that was never seen again. This happens all the time. And I appreciate you all telling me your stories because I want to get it out there. I know some of you have heard this already, but if we can just communicate it, maybe it saves one of you from making a mistake. But if mom or dad, or especially by themselves or even together, and they're starting to get a little forgetful and everything, you must have that talk with them. You must have the money talk with them. Even if they're the type that was so private and you're still their child, you're still their baby, and you do not want to violate that son, daughter, parent, mother, father, you know, respect that you've had for them all their lives. But they need you at this point. They need you at this point. It's important that you're there for them. Because the other day, Lori and I were out doing some gardening, and our neighbor, who has home health care with his wife, was walking up the street by himself with dementia. I had my head down. Lori went, uh-oh. She rushed across the street. He always liked Lori, and she sweet-talked him into going back with her to the house. The caregiver and his wife were shocked that he took off when they were distracted. Late in the afternoon, they call it sundowning, and that's when they get more restless. Start walking around the house, and this time he got out. He escaped. He kept telling Lori he was going home, which wasn't where he lived. One of the many reasons why I love my wife is her first instinct is to help right away. She dropped what she was doing and ran across the street to help him. And it's one of the many times I've seen her do that sort of thing. So all of you out there, I know you many of you have those instincts. I just love that about you guys, especially about my wife. But any case, if you'd like to make an appointment or come in and see me and talk about your situation, your family situation, all conversations are completely confidential. Completely confidential. And we can talk, and you don't owe me a thing. Don't worry about the meter running. You just want someone to bounce the vent to. Feel free to call in at 860-415-9614. Or email me at dlbryan@ifgrr.com. We'll be back in a few with the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, your host, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, exit 90 down from Steak Loft in the Taylor Realty Building. Hope everybody's doing well today. Yes, that little yellow ball in the sky is actually the sun. Yahoo! Anyway, I want to talk, we were talking about a little bit of elder abuse that we've, anecdotal stories I've been hearing about personally. But despite the bad actors out there, probate judges tell me that most family want their loved ones to be safe and protected And, you know, they'll build an addition to their home. They'll try to help them stay in their home. They'll put in walkways and gates and wheelchair accessible. You know, you see those ramps going up. I see them in the neighborhood from time to time. So most people want to help their elderly loved ones and want to do it on a straightforward basis where everything's out there, you know, and assets are going to be divided fairly. But once in a while, you get a noodle head. Some families do. You get a noodle head, but most families do a good job of keeping their loved ones home as long as they're possible. Now, if you open a brokerage account now and you're over 65, there's a little section where I have to ask you if you want a loved one or a friend or someone to be included on the account in case something happens to you, you start getting forgetful, and you want a son or daughter, friend, family, friend of the family, a trusted person I can talk to about your account. And if you don't want it, you have to sign off saying you waive that right. And that's relatively recent. I've talked about it before, but we're taking it very, very serious that we want to stop all elder abuse. And sometimes elder abuse, it's kind of weird what happens. And another friend of mine, his mom, she didn't have a lot of assets. And she was really getting forgetful. He went through the checkbook one time, found $33,000 in, like, I don't know, like 110 different donations to different charities. Because when you want to give to one, they sell your name and they're all calling. And she was just like, well, you know, I want to go to heaven and I want to give money and blah, 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 blah. And she didn't have the money to give. And she really... he found out about this, obviously, after $33,000, you know, whatever. So this stuff happens all the time. And so just be aware of it. Even in the, each individual charity doesn't know what's happening. They're just, you know, doing their marketing. So it's nothing nefarious on their part. But as a group, when they, the calls and the mail and the email, it could be overwhelming to a senior, especially if they're starting to get a little bit confused. So just be aware of that. Rates on mortgages and deposits are falling, and the Fed has said they will cut rates if needed this summer. If they do, the Dow will probably race up over 30,000. Imagine that. That's my opinion, by the way. So when I started in 1980, I was being interviewed. I was in the MBA program at Binghamton University, part of the SUNY system. So the guy from Goldman Sachs comes in and he goes, what's the Dow at? Now, bear in mind, I was working like 3 part-time jobs. I was working for a professor. I was going to school part-time. And I was so broke, this girl I knew at Oneonta was coming down to feed me on the weekends. Well, at least that's her excuse. So I said, I think 800 to 900. He goes, 848. I go, wow. So that was, what, April of 80? So let's say, call it around 850. So if we get to 30,000. That's pretty amazing from 1980 at 850-ish to almost close to 27,000 now. And I think the Fed gets aggressive. This thing is going to go zoom, zoom. Because where else are you going to put your money these days, right? The banks don't pay, and it's going to be tough. So I think we're going to see some of that, so just be aware of it. I remember when I first got into the business in 1980, 81, 82, I was selling municipal bonds and Ginnie Mae's. All I knew was fixed income. I was on the fixed income desk in my first 2 jobs. And interest rates were climbing and climbing and climbing. And I remember yields got as high as 15% on treasuries and Ginnie Mae's and even some municipal tax-free bonds. MBIA insured. These weren't like, you know, these were great issues. And, you know, that was the world I was in when I was just a young man. And I remember people calling in from all over the country to buy them because I was on Wall Street on a bond desk. And being a young man, I thought, oh, this is easy. Wow, 13%, 11%, 14%. It was like, you know, it was so easy at the time. I just remember being a young man and selling that stuff. Well, you die for those yields now, I'll tell you. It'd be something to see. I was in a meeting with my new BNI group, which is a group of business professionals that exchange info and referrals. The bankers and credit unions told us that they are desperately trying to hire people. As I walked into the radio show today, a friend on Facebook posted he's desperately trying to hire people for his landscaping excavating company. There are job openings everywhere you go. My son could have had 200 interviews if he had the time. For the first time in a long time, wages are growing, and the American people are benefiting from the tax, regulatory, and trade policies now in place. It makes me laugh when the politicians talk about minimum wage, family leave, rich versus the poor, while they allow tens of millions of cheap labor and voters into the country to benefit themselves. Sometimes institutional churches advocated for it because they were being given money by the government. And the corporations, of course, they want cheap labor. What a crock. If you limit the supply of labor, prices and wages will go up. So next time you see a politician going on about the minimum wage, and then they're for, oh, we have to keep the borders open, they speak with forked tongue. I'm telling you. You can't have it both ways, supply and demand. The more supply, the less supply, wages will rise. Better trade deals mean wages will rise. It's just common sense. I mean, if you know, they must think we're stupid. I don't know. So anyway, poor Nevada, I think they took the dumb pill because they're following Connecticut down the road. They just allowed their government workers to unionize. So you know what's coming in Nevada? A state income tax. There's only 9 states that don't have a state income tax. And Nevada, hate to say it, but if you allow a Connecticut and Illinois and New York and New Jersey, you're going to have that same tax problem that we all have. Wages, government wages, going to union dues that fund the PACs, that fund the politicians, that negotiate the deals with the people that are funding them. It's absolutely, absolutely incredible, poor Nevada. Anyway, I was reading a very interesting article. It was about the Denver Bronco, Pat Bowlen, who owned the Denver Broncos. And this is a very interesting story from the standpoint of estate planning. Because sometimes these very, very wealthy guys put together these plans, and he did at 75 years old. He died of Alzheimer's. He was a flamboyant, well-respected owner of the Broncos. But he put together a plan for succession planning that we call in the business the Hunger Game Trust or Incentive Trust. And do we have a call on the line here? All right, let's take the call. Hey, Kim, how are you? Kim.
Dennis, thank you. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. How's life?
Life is pretty good. Well, you know, up and down, in and out of the ditch.
I gotcha.
But it's okay.
Good, good.
I think you know the situation I'm in.
Yep.
And I was considering, I don't know what to do. The casino is going up and down with business. I'm going to be 62 this year.
Yep.
Should I collect Social Security at the age of 62, I'll give you the exact amount that I'm going to get. It's about $1,074. I have, when a split is done with our home, maybe $80,000 in equity, and I have part of the marital value of a pension coming in, and then my 401, that's at about 100, and it bounces depending on what's going on politically. It bounces between 120 and 140
right
at this point.
Right.
I did a calculation. Well, I didn't. A friend of mine did a calculation, and trying to determine if by collecting that money from 62 to 66, it ends up being $50,000 plus. And we were trying to determine if you stretch that out, how long it would take to make that money back.
Yeah.
If at 62, I'm going to get $1,400, and then 70 something, I'm going to get 18.
Right.
After the divorce is done, I will be getting part of his. I'm not really sure how it's figured out, calculated, but I will get, I believe it's his, whatever he gets for Social Security.
Yep.
Now,
you get half of his at full, his full retirement age. You're talking about a divorce, right?
Yep.
Married over 10 years, you haven't remarried.
Hell no. I'm heck no.
Gotcha. So at his full retirement age, which I assume is 66 to 67,
right.
And he's probably a couple years away from that.
He's 57 now.
57, so he's, say, 9 to 10 years away.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what the retirement in a nutshell calculator does for me, is I run different scenarios.
Right.
Usually if you take it at 62, it takes the 78 to 82 to break even.
That's what we came up with.
Yeah, that's usually the numbers. I've seen them all over the place. But 78 to 82 is usually kind of what it comes out to. And then it just comes down to, you know, what you want to do. If you work physically and you're starting to break down a little bit, and, you know, the more manual the labor, the earlier they take it.
I am starting to break down being a really old beverage server.
Yeah,
You know, physically, it's exhausting. And,
yeah.
Although, it's my understanding that you can make $17,640 while you're collecting Social Security at 62.
Right, before it becomes taxable. Yep.
It is taxable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that includes alimony.
Yes, I do. I got to check that. Because the alimony rules just changed with the Trump Tax Act. So, yeah, why don't you come on in and we'll just run through the numbers and do some research together.
All right, I'll call you Monday.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Kim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome to my world, kids, at O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Each of your situations is so unique. You throw in divorce, early Social Security, and all the other things. We research it. We come up with 3 or 4 different alternatives, and you'll know what the right one is for you after you think it for a while. So anyway, my number is 860-415-9614 or dobryan@ifgr.com if you'd like to reach me during the week. Sunday, Saturday night, doesn't matter. Talk to you soon. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Dennis O'Brien here on 94.9 News Now. Yes, I did get your message. What is the Dow and how does that relate to you and your life? And he thinks most people don't understand what that is. The stock market index, the Dow Jones, is the value of the 30 largest publicly owned companies based in the United States. And it's just a measurement of these companies through the years, and they can be replaced. It's probably the second oldest U.S. index after the Dow Jones Transportation Average. Nobody cares about that. But originally, it was published February 16th of 1885, and it's just basically the industrial portion of is largely historical, and it's just the modern 30 components. And the components are as follows. 3M, American Express, Apple, Boeing, Caterpillar, Chevron, Cisco, Coke, Dow, ExxonMobil, Goldman, Home Depot, IBM, Intel, Johnson & Johnson, J.P. Morgan, McDonald's, Merck, Microsoft, Nike, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, Travelers, United Health Group, United Technologies, Verizon, Visa, Walmart, Walgreens, and Walt Disney. So that is the Dow, and that is a pretty big part of it tells you kind of what's going on with the big boys. And it's an average everybody uses. There are better indexes in terms of measuring the breadth of the market. And I have an internal algorithm called VectorVest that we use to measure the breadth of each of the market. But the Dow is something historically people have talked to. And so 30,000 on the Dow means that stocks from 850 to 30,000 means the largest 30 have gone up over 30 times if that happens. And that's pretty amazing returns through the years. So I hope that was helpful to you. I know it was a quick thing. So we were talking about the Denver Broncos and Pat Bowlen. He set up a trust when he died. He had Alzheimer's. But before he set it up, he basically said, I'm going to set up, they call it an incentive trust. And he stepped away from running the Broncos in 2014 as a result of his battle with Alzheimer's. So in order to ensure an orderly succession while he was still lucid, he placed the Broncos franchise in a trust managed by three trustees. Joe Ellis, the president, Rich Silvka, Pat's lawyer for decades, and the Bronx general counsel and attorney Mary Kelly laid out a series of qualifications at least one of his seven children would have to meet if they wanted ever wanted to control of the franchise. And that's why they call it the Hunger Games Clause. And if you haven't seen the Hunger Games, it's a pretty interesting way of doing it. The victor goes to spoils is basically... this vehicle is called an incentive trust. And basically, you can put all these weird requirements on there, attend a certain college, refrain from selling the family home. Yeah, you can even require a child to marry only in your own religion. I mean, we're talking in the planning business, it's called dead hand control. And although he wasn't technically dead, his plan ensured that Broncos' succession would be preceded by very specific rules. But the problem with it is that the most suitable candidate, which was the 48-year-old Beth Bolin Wallace, Pat's daughter from the first marriage, she accused the trustees of self-dealing. Besides boasting a resume, include a law degree, various philanthropic and business ventures, and a stint working for a special project manager for the team, trustees have reportedly deemed her Beth unqualified. They seem to favor the 28-year-old Brittany Bowden, notably the daughter of Pat's current wife, Annabelle, as well as years away from actually being able to control the team. So here you have a situation where if the trustees don't allow Beth, the 48-year-old, highly accomplished person, who would probably boot their butts and they'd be out of a job, the three trustees, they want the young one, Brittany, to take it over at 28, and they probably figure that it'll take 20 years to mold her into what Beth is already. I don't know the personalities and everything, but these are the issues you get into when you try to control people from the grave, okay? The best thing to do in a situation like this is to sell the team and then split the proceeds, and no one has to go through this Hunger Games incentive clause of a trust. Why is that important? Well, let's face it. Most of you don't own a professional sports franchise, but I have seen locally people try to control their kids from the grave, especially in the higher net worth people. Please, I always tell them, please, please, please do not do it. They will live without you. Trust me. Some of them will live very, very well without you. But I just wanted to pass that on. So will Trump and China reach an agreement? Well, they both could use a win domestically because both internal citizenry in both countries have been hurt. Trump faces an election. Xi doesn't. Xi has 2 million people in the streets in Hong Kong. Trump doesn't have that. Trump has the House threatening him with impeachment. Xi doesn't have that. Well, Xi has Taiwan looking over at him. The thing about China is, once one military guy told me, is that they don't have deep water ports. So that's maybe why they're trying to build islands in the South China Sea. But they're making everybody around them nervous. And the wealthy Chinese in Hong Kong are starting to move their money over to Singapore and their families, because Singapore doesn't face that problem. So the slowdown in China is actually helping us here in the U.S., though, with lower prices for oil at the gas pump and other things, too. So this was happening until recently when Iran just heated up. Now, Trump is trying to get the Iranian freedom movement going internally. And if you don't believe me, the last few days, there was a big demonstration in Washington with Iranian nationals, displaced Iranians who have come to America, who are trying to send a message to their brethren back home in Iran that we are with you. We want you to wake up and take your country back. I don't think Trump wants a shooting war. Russia acts like they're upset, but the higher price of oil, because their economy is based almost solely on selling weapons and selling oil and gas. So that's what they do. And so this really helps them. So I think they're kind of like, Yeah. Maybe they're interested. Maybe they're not. So these are some of the cross currents that we're seeing right now. And it's amazing to me that the Middle East, which represents only 3.5% of the world's GDP, is always the center of such danger, instability, and meddling by world powers. And between you and me, I'm sick of it. I just wish they would help their people and get with the 21st century and do what they can. Do we have a call? Oh, hi, Sam. How are you?
Morning, Radio Free New England.
How you doing, buddy?
Let's see. It's a beautiful day.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What's on your mind?
I'm laughing on the outside and I'm crying on the inside.
Sounds like a song.
Yeah, a couple of things. You were talking about controlling from the grave.
Yep.
That's what happened to the Rothschild.
Is it?
The original Rothschild, he made that international bank. He got the five sons into them. They created the international banks. But in his will, he made it. They had to keep it the boys, the actual boys in the family. So they wound up. There were several generations that were inbred just to keep the money in the family.
Imagine that. Imagine that. That's never happened to royal families and wealthy families, huh?
Well, as I've been studying, they find out, you know, that the marriages were more, they were arranged marriages, you know.
Right.
If you fall in love, you fall in love later.
Well, thanks for that update, Sam.
Well, anyway, one more point on that.
Yeah.
You were talking about divorces.
Yeah.
You know, and waiting for that pension.
Right.
As a result of this marriage, which is divorced, the marriage really hasn't ended. If the condition of the pension is you don't get married in order to get the pension.
Oh, well, no, I was talking about Social Security. You don't have rights to your divorced partners. You don't get their part. You just have a right to a percentage of theirs.
After being married for 10 years, right? Something
right.
Like that?
Social Security says you have to be married for 10 years,
okay.
Divorced for two, and not remarried. If you didn't make, say your Social Security is going to be $500 and theirs is going to be $3,000, well, at their full retirement age, you don't penalize them, but Social Security will give you 50% of their full retirement age.
Right.
So she would go from $500 to $1,500. And that's a big deal.
Well, fortunately, either case, I didn't have to deal with.
Right, exactly. But if you had stayed home raising the kids and she was out highly compensated, then you would have been, and the guys split up and everything. But,
yeah,
you know, that's just part of the rules and everything. But thanks for calling.
Well, talking with Rocky this morning, by the hand of God, maybe something will happen. But my hand isn't very attractive.
Take care, Sam. Bye-bye.
All right, God bless you.
Hey. On that wise notes, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. If you'd like to make an appointment, give me a ring anytime at 860-415-9614 or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. And yes, I do answer the phone. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement. Exit 90 down from Stake Loft in the Taylor Realty Building. Come visit us and we will talk and see what's going on. Anyway, we're talking about the Middle East. 3.5% of world GDP and always in the center of such instability and meddling. I hope Boeing gets back again and solves their problems soon. Airbus is going to eat their lunch if they don't pick it up. The damage to Boeing's reputation, let's face it, guys, it's going to take years to repair, even if they would get the go-ahead to get those jets in the air. Between you and me, would you want to go on that jet right away? I don't know. It's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a little while. But one lady at one of the large mutual fund companies said that she inherited a bunch of money from her mom when she passed, and she was just so frustrated because she was getting all this incorrect information. And every time she called in, she'd get a different person. Nobody really knew who she was. And so finally, she just got fed up, came in to see me, and she's bringing it over. She just couldn't take it anymore. That's what she said. So hopefully we'll get her organized, and she'll talk to the same person every time that'll actually know her. And I talked to a different person this week who seemed, two different people this week who, you know, they were kind of grumpy the last few months. And I recently talked to them and they were like both happy and totally unrelated. And so what's going on? You know, one friend of mine in California says, oh, my divorce went through. I said, wait a minute, that's supposed to be a sad thing. He goes, no, you don't understand. This is a good thing. And I went, oh, okay, because I was raised, you know, divorce, no. But he seemed a lot happier after it and whatnot. So, you know, to each their own. He says his son is living with him, and he's just very happy, very, very, very happy with the situation. But he did say that I should say, warn my listeners, and all of you know this because you're all smart people, but please, if you're going through a divorce and you have children, do not badmouth your ex-spouse in front of your children. And he said the reason for that is that your children are half that ex-spouse. And so by insulting that ex-spouse, you are insulting half of them. And it can cause lifetime damage. Divorce is tough enough. So please do not say anything bad about your ex-spouse in front of your children, no matter what, because that damage can last a lifetime. A young man approached me this week. He had been out in L.A. doing the TV thing, and he was asking me about my business. And I've known him since he's 8 years old, and I took the meeting. And he was shocked when I told him that I run each portfolio individually. He goes, that's too much work. And I laughed because I knew what he was being trained to do was to hand off to a cookie-cutter portfolio system where everyone owned the same thing. He told me he had bought a practice from a retiring rep, and which had a ton of annuities in it. Amazing, the rep retired. I don't know if the clients did. Anyway, I go, how's that going? I smirked. And I don't like smirking, but I couldn't help it. He told me that each annuity had their own riders, and most of them he felt were rip-off to the clients because he can't liquidate them because it'd be too expensive with the back-end charges. He was shocked when I told him I do not sell them, and I told him I do not sell front-end load mutual funds. When I told him my fee structure, he was like, that's too cheap. I laughed and asked him how big his staff was, and he told me, and I can see why his fees are considerably more, because he has a lot more overhead. So so don't be surprised when I answer the phone, because I really do try to keep my cost down with my inexpensive desk and just try to run it the right way in terms of keeping the cost down to you, the client. I told him if he goes back to L.A., let me know. And we both laughed because who knows? You never know. They get a call and something's offered to him. He could be back. Yields on the money market funds, on your money, are falling around the world. You remember, U.S. is just part of the world economy. So you watch what's going on in Europe. Some of the yields are actually negative. What does that mean, a negative yield? A negative yield means not only do you not get money on your money, interest on your money, you got to pay them to hold your money. What is that all about? So there are some countries where the interest rate is actually negative. Negative. So people are desperate for yield around the world. So if you have a lot of cash in the bank, give me a call about getting an income portfolio put together. It's the smartest thing I think you could do. If you have the way you will protect yourself from earning nothing at the bank because taxes and inflation are going to eat up that money and your purchasing power through the years. Have your property taxes gone down? Have your grocery bills gone down through the years? You know, oil's gone down recently, but, you know, you can't rely on that. So please, please, please earn something on your money. Give me a ring. We'll try to put an income portfolio together. Do not give me your emergency money. I do not want that. So keep 6 to 12 months emergency money of your expenses. If your expenses are $4,000 a month, keep 25 to 50 grand in the bank because boilers break down, heaters, air conditioners, roofs, cars. Emergencies happen. You own stuff, you're going to have emergency. Stuff's going to happen. So you always keep money apart. Because I don't want to give you money for emergencies back if I've got a nice portfolio running and everything else. So that's not the money you want to give me. But if you've got too much money in the bank, give me a ring. And please, the local bank, credit union, whoever is running a 3% ad about paying people 3%, the fine print is it's only up to $10,000. So they're giving you $300 on whatever amount you give them. So if it's 100 grand, they're going to give you 3% on the first 10 grand and then whatever after that. So it's very misleading. Please stop doing it. It's not right. And I think you guys are better than that. I think car deals will be improving soon because there's a lot of supplier cars out there. I'm looking, but who knows? I'm too cheap right now. I think car prices, you know, if you're old enough, you go, I remember when that car was only. Seems like the cheap, how the Koreans do it, though. These Hyundais are cheap, you know, much cheaper than everything else. And the reliability is pretty good, but I don't know how they do it. I hope United Technology stays in Connecticut because they're doing one of these merger of equals at Raytheon. I think they're based in Boston. So don't be surprised. And I don't understand why United Technology sold Otis Elevator. People that work there tell me they wanted to concentrate on aerospace. And who's aerospace? Boeing. And what's Boeing doing? So maybe sometimes it's good to be diversified. I don't know. I'm just ranting and raving here because I'm losing my mind thinking about driving into New York City later today. Anyway, the Ten Commandments of becoming a millionaire. This is how my millionaires have done it. And this is what you need to do if you're not there yet or you want to become more of a millionaire. Number one, save automatically. Automate it. Automate it. Automate it. Do not give me money that's left over after you pay your bills. Pay yourself first. Send me the money before you pay your bills. Number two, 15-year mortgage. We don't do 30-year mortgages. And 12-year, 8-year, the local credit union is even better if you can afford it. It means buy less house in a less fancy neighborhood. Nobody cares where you live. Find something you're comfortable with. Spend less money. Get a 15-year mortgage. And try to prepay that. Because it's wonderful if you have no debt after 10 years, 12 years. Absolutely wonderful. Number three, avoid credit cards. Pay cash for everything. I know somebody's going to use a debit card. I get it. But avoid debt. Pay cash. Don't take on big debts. Number four, any purchases must be saved for. So the big ones, you want to buy that fancy new truck and everything, start saving for it. You can get it. Buy it used. Buy used boats. Buy used everything. Because their value goes down 50% after a couple of years anyway on some of these things. So always raise your savings 1% to 2% a year. Remember, savings score is much more important than credit score. We want you to have, a couple came in this week and they have a savings score over 50%. They're saving over 50% of their income. They are rock stars, absolute rock stars, because they are saving. They could be spending, but they are putting the money away. Their savings score is the highest they've ever seen, over 50. Absolutely fantastic. But I don't care if you're at 5, as long as you keep raising it 1% or 2% every year, get to 7, then get to 10. Soon you'll be at 15, 20. Once you hit 30, you are starting to really rock it. So that's fantastic. So calculate your current savings rate. Number 7, consider good quality growth stocks. Avoid excessive trading. The reason why I want you to buy them individually is you don't have to pay fees to the mutual fund companies or the annuity companies or everything. And you can control your capital gains. So if you have a loss on one, you get a gain on it, you can offset things and control it. But you have to determine which investments are appropriate for your own individual objectives and risk tolerance and everything else like that. Be generous with your time. You'd be surprised. You learn a lot more from people than what you give sometimes after you're trying to be generous with them. You find you get more out of it than you ever expected to get. Number nine, teach your children about credit card solicitations, college debt, and buying a home. These kids need help. They need help, help, help. Talk about it. Even when they want to roll their eyes at you, they are listening. Talk about it. And number 10, travel. Go see the world. Go have some fun, especially in your 60s. Do some things. Because when you're in your 80s, maybe you'll be okay, but maybe you won't. So if you've accumulated, you've done all these other things, go travel. Go see things. I think it keeps you fresh. It keeps you alive. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing and a benefit to our wonderful country that you can do that. So anyway, if you'd like to schedule a free appointment, you want to get a second opinion on your portfolios, if you got orphan 401ks and IRA rollovers all over the place you want me to look at, there's never, ever any sales pressure. I hate sales pressure. Anybody who puts the lien on me, I'm just like, go away. because I like to think about things, and I like people that are like me in terms of they want to think about things and want to make sure they're doing the right thing and whatnot. But please call, email, to make an appointment, and we're more than happy to sit down and talk with you. And there's never, ever any pressure to do anything, because I want to be treated. I want you to be treated the same way I would want to be treated, you know, do unto others. So it's just part of the thing. So I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We got a couple, two or three really good days, and we may have a string more longer than that, depending on what happens early, mid next week. So finally, all you people that opened your pools early, you can actually jump in them. It would be a nice thing, and go to the beach and whatnot. But give your hug once, a kiss for me, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Take care. Bye-bye now.